The first lesson for today is the 148th Psalm. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his host. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He established them forever and ever. He fixed their bounds, which cannot be passed. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and frost, stormy wind fulfilling his command. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and women alike, old and young together, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for his people. Praise for all his faithful, for the people of Israel who are close to him. Praise the Lord. The second lesson for today is from the second chapter of Luke. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people in Israel. And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. They had come to the temple to observe the ritual sacrifice this carpenter and his teenaged fiancée. Mary and Joseph had traveled to Jerusalem to dedicate their firstborn son to the Lord. Whether they fully comprehended the magnitude of the birth or whether they had actually managed to wrap their heads around the idea that they held the Son of God in their arms as they walked along, we don't know. But we do know that they were faithful and that they were observant Jews who had come to the temple to offer a sacrifice. And we know that they were poor, for they could not afford the lamb that is required by the law. And so they offered instead two turtle doves in its place, as allowed in Leviticus. For as poor as they were, as young as Mary was, and as overwhelmed as they may well have been, these rituals mattered to them. Their faith needed to be expressed in worship. And that must have been a kind of a busy, bustling place, this temple, because at that time, the first century Jerusalem, the temple was the center not only of Jewish religious life, but also the social and cultural center of a nation that was occupied by Rome. Maybe as we think about Mary and Joseph walking along, we can see the people going by on the street, and we can hear the calls of the sellers of animals hawking their wares for people who have come to the temple but could not bring a lamb or a pigeon or a turtle dove from home, because sometimes you just can't carry a lamb that far. Maybe we can see the members of the Sanhedrin, the ruling council of Jerusalem, off in the corner consulting with one another as they prepared to meet, as they did. And of course, we know there were priests. And maybe we can smell the fire and the blood and the roasting meat as worshipers sought that ritual cleansing and dedication. For this poor carpenter and his teenage wife clutching their small babe, the temple may well have been a busy place. But you know, our text does not tell us about priests or animals or council members, but it tells us first of Simeon. Simeon, who was not a priest, not a Pharisee, not a Sadducee, not a member of the Sanhedrin, but an old man. And a man who had lived his many years trusting in the promise of Israel's salvation given to him by God. Now, I have to believe that Simeon's life was not a simple one. He probably worked and struggled and knew that his country was occupied. And in fact, in many ways, he is the embodiment of that Jewish hopefulness that we hear echoed again and again in the Psalms and the prophets. The hope that says, okay, yes, there is difficulty and there is pain, and we are distanced from a homeland, but we have a promise from a faithful God that Judah will once again be redeemed. And Simeon lives in that state of expectant waiting. And his waiting is not in vain. This old man, this non-priest, non-Sadducee, non-Pharisee, this simple person recognizes and names the Christ, predicting all that is to come. And Mary and Joseph also meet Anna, this octogenarian prophetess who survived her husband after a very short marriage, and spent the rest of her life in mourning, living in the temple, focusing herself on God. And now this 84-year-old widow, who probably wielded absolutely no power whatsoever in the society in which she lived, recognizes the Christ and happily, almost gleefully, joyfully, spreads hope and the news to everyone she meets. It is in these two unexpected voices, not in the busyness of the temple, that we hear of our salvation. And thank goodness for that. Because I don't know if it's been like this for you, but for me, 2017 has been a busy and a noisy year. And maybe that's not so unusual now, because in our 24/7 cycle that dominates our news, we've heard again and again from experts and leaders galore. If you think about it, we've watched an inauguration in Washington and heard of the end of a 37-year presidential term in Zimbabwe. We've seen women march in solidarity in the United States while protests continue in Venezuela. We've looked on in dismay and kind of disbelief as white nationalists streamed into Charlottesville, and we've watched football players kneel during the national anthem. We've heard international leaders rattling their sabers in rocket launches. We've listened to renewed calls for diplomacy and international cooperation. We've heard women and men around the nation, and I think around the world, tell their stories in Me Too. And we watched in awe as for a few moments the moon slid in front of the sun. And we watched in disbelief as hurricanes devastated parts of Texas, Florida, and pretty much the entire island of Puerto Rico. There have been suicide bombers, terrorist van drivers, lone gunmen, leaked documents, and even a couple cyber and malware attacks. And we've watched people die. In Yemen, Myanmar, Egypt, Manchester, Las Vegas, Sutherland Springs, to name a few. And we've lost people in our community as well. These events have been followed and reported and celebrated or lamented and rehashed again and again and again. It's been a noisy year. So maybe it's time that we look around for Simeon and Anna. Those two wise prophets who speak of God in unexpected voices. Perhaps it is time for us to step outside of the busyness and the worry of our lives and to seek out those whose faith and hope has remained steadfast, even in the face of troubles. And maybe when the temperature actually gets above zero, so please don't do this until it's a little warmer, when it's a little warmer, it's time for us to go outside and look at the natural world and listen for the praises of God and for all the ways in which all of creation, from the angels to the creeping and crawling things, praise God. And maybe, just maybe, when we turn our attention to those unexpected places, to those unseen and overlooked people, we can hear the good news from Simeon and Anna, from Mary and Joseph, from Elizabeth, from Zechariah and John. Think about that. All these people whom we meet in our gospel, all these people were unexpected messengers. And in some ways, sometimes acting in downright strange ways. Camel hair shirt, eating locusts, not something we do every day. But they all pointed to the multitude of ways in which God is at work in the world. even among those whom we assume exist at the very margins of our very human created society. What would happen this year if we looked at those who are poor or old or outcast or who suffer from illness, and instead of saying, "How can I be Christ to them?" we ask the question, "How are they showing Christ to me?" Because I think we need to be reminded that our Lord and Savior was not born in a place of power and influence, but in a small town in the backwater of the Roman Empire, surrounded by animals. And the very first to hear of the good news were not great kings or philosophers, but shepherds who were busy working the third shift. So where will you hear the good news in 2018, brothers and sisters? Maybe you will show up each Sunday here at First Presbyterian and see that there are still people in the pews. And you will remember all the children that you have baptized in this past year. Man, you guys have baptized quite a few. Or perhaps you will visit and worship with a different congregation and experience the movement of the Spirit that extends throughout the body of Christ. Go ahead, invite friends to lunch, knowing that the Spirit moves around you and among you even at that table. Or maybe you will experience the good news in the eyes of strangers as you ring the Salvation Army bell or swing a hammer at a Habitat for Humanity build, or serve those who come to the Hope House for a meal. Maybe you will walk a quiet forest path or simply sit and marvel at the beauty of creation in your potted plant. Take a walk around your neighborhood. Take a slow, meandering walk around your neighborhood. And revel in the connections that we have with those around us. And if those connections are not there, make some. Offer up a pie to your neighbor. Who knows, maybe you will meet someone who has not lost sight of God's promise, even amid difficulty and strife. And maybe, just a maybe, you will recognize that that person is you. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, a baby has come. A baby, think about that. A tiny child who is Christ the Lord. Amen.